My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ.
I often use the biblical paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, The Message, but it was just this week, for the first time, I happened to look on the back cover of it, and the very first sentence on the back cover, at least of my edition, read, "What would happen if you received a letter from God?" And actually, that's pretty much the approach that I'm going to take this morning to this large topic of the letters of Paul as we think about the early church. Clearly, we're going to have to zero in to some extent. But I'm really just going to be reading this as if it were a letter. I've got about 5 minutes of introduction that I'd give to you. Then I told myself that the rest of it is mainly just going to be us listening to the text. But then you know me, some of my commentary is going to get sprinkled in. I look forward to hearing from Paul. Shall we pray? Lord God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to really hear, fresh, new, back then, and now for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossae, the town in Greece, is about 5,500 miles from Bloomington Normal, as the crow flies. This letter that Julie just read from was written almost 2,000 years ago. And quite frankly, those two factors influence the way we sometimes treat this letter, as if it was far away and long ago. Might be interesting, might not, but it was about someone else at a different time. That's true. And we would do a disservice if we were doing what we usually call Bible study, if we didn't take that seriously, trying to understand what he was writing to them, what was the situation, what was life like, and what were the specific instructions. But it is also scripture. As Daryl said, it is God's word. And so part of our belief, what guides us and instructs us, is that while we take seriously the back then part as a part of the understanding, it is for us today always to listen as if it were addressed to us. I sort of mixed metaphors and said it's like a 2,000-year-old group text or listserv of an email. It's always to all Christians. Now this morning, as I said, is just a sample of Paul's writing. I've taken parts of his letter to the Colossians. I'm taking it from The Message, the paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, but then I've paraphrased it even a little bit more, and then there's going to be one more, even a little bit more, that I'm going to add to this. So what I've done is, and what you're going to be seeing on the screen, so you aren't just hearing it, but you'll be able to follow along, is I have added to the text of the scripture as it appears in the Message, the words, the Mennonite Church of Normal. So it's as if it's written to us. We're on the distribution list. It is to us. But then, talking it one step further, we need to remember, and here is where our knowledge of the entire Bible and how it works is so helpful to us, we need to remember that the body of Christ is always intensely local. Jesus said, wherever two or three gather, that becomes the embodiment of Christ. It isn't primarily about congregations, although we think of it in this way for this text. But when we say us, this is introduced to us, it doesn't just mean the Colossians back then, and it doesn't just mean congregations, but it includes every grouping. Every grouping. It could be a small group. Those of you that are married, this letter was written to you as a gathered body in holy matrimony of two. It's written to your youth group. It's written to a neighborhood. It's written to those of you that live in the MRC, a residential community. In fact, Peter says this, and now I'm jumping around, going from Paul to what Jesus said. Peter adds to it. He says, Christians, wherever you are, live as a holy nation. And here this morning, we will hear instructions for every moment of our lives, which are to embody and represent holiness. So it isn't a way out there, and it isn't just about a congregation. It is profitable, as Timothy said, all scripture is God-breathed, and I think we can bring this to every context in which we live. This letter is to us. You've got mail. I want to add one final comment before I launch into the reading of this text. I know that some of you use this time to take notes. Bless you for that. I think it's a good idea at times, if that works for you. Were this a Sunday school class, I would ask you to take note as you hear this letter, the parts you would just as soon ignore. I won't pay attention to that because it's hard. Or the ones which you think especially apply here and now, or the ones which are good to hear because they are commending us for how we are. Sometimes one doesn't just hear reproof, but one hears encouragement. They align how you, we are living. But insert every single one of your relational communities, intensely local, into the reading of this, hearing those as being also a recipient of this group letter. Let us begin. To the Mennonite Church of Normal, and to you and your marriage, and to your youth group, and so forth. I want you at Mennonite Church of Normal woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. I am delighted to hear of the careful and orderly ways that you, at the Mennonite Church of Normal, conduct your affairs. I'm delighted to hear how you conduct your affairs, and I'm impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ, at which point we say, yes, that's us. Or, if we're listening to the text, and this is the power of hearing God's word, we add, comma, or is it? That's part of being in conversation with the Bible. I'm so pleased to see how you are impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. It's us, or is it? My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. And by the way, these underlinings are mine, point of emphasis. Now, do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Now, the word that raises questions is that word start. What do you mean start? Is there a problem here? doesn't Paul know about us? Or does he? And what came to my mind were the many starts we've had and the ways that we are long down the road of living in Christ, but then perhaps there are other incidences, contexts, occasions, areas in which we, for whatever reason, have stayed stuck. So we need to ponder this. Quit studying the subject, quit talking about it, and start living it. I think we should allow for the possibility that our living it might be selective and it could be more shallow than it might be. That's one to keep in mind. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. Now check these three. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. You're already in, insiders, through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin, submitting to baptism, going under the water was a burial of your old life, coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as He did Christ. So, if you at the Mennonite Church of Norman are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Now, this next sentence I think would make a wonderful charade. I doubt if anyone could have guessed it unless you're really a biblical scholar and really know every single line of things. But if somebody were acting out just basically going on with life as one foot in front of another, and Paul speaks of that lack of perspective, that lack of depth when he says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. Seeing things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, is with Christ in God. He is your life. That means killing off everything connected with that old way of death, sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. I can't imagine a life which is shaped primarily by feelings and things. Can you? You're done with that old life. Now, I am not kidding you on this. I had no idea what Darryl Miller was going to do for a children's story. I was as surprised as everyone else was. Oftentimes, almost always, it is like God's Spirit hovers over us as we worship together. And this was just a gift because of how it syncs up with what Paul then wrote about clothing and dressing and so forth. The first thing that we do every day, here is Paul talking about dressing ourselves. It's about clothing. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and you put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are obsolete. How do I look? Who am I? Well, words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. Maybe even words like Mennonite and non-Mennonite are obsolete. Catholic or Protestant, you think so? Or not? You've got mail. I wonder what would be written to us. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you do, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. This sermon was prepared this morning. It was prepared before this morning. I got up and I looked in the mirror and I looked if I had missed any places shaving. I gave a nice bright smile and so forth and so on. It is hard to have that habit, though, of asking oneself, what would it be like today? With my parents, for you teenagers. With my children, for you parents. With my spouse. With a neighbor I really can't stand. What would it be like? I need to put on gentleness. I need to not focus on getting my way, being in second place. What I'm going to wear today is kindness. I'm going to look in the mirror of Scripture, which is really what we're doing. We're looking in a mirror, aren't we? And then we're seeing, how does it reflect on us? Oops! And this isn't button, and this isn't quite right. And I kid you not, for whatever reason, whether it's my chemical makeup or whatever, sometimes I get up cranky and highly committed to staying cranky for quite a while, as if that's my right, a life governed by feelings. No, put on something new. 10 qualities are listed here. And I had to think, wouldn't that be wonderful? On the tombstone, it seemed like she always wore these 10 qualities. I've done a lot of funerals. I've remembered a lot of people. I don't know if I've ever gone down this list, although often things like this are remembered, not just because they're memorable, because they are of God. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive quickly and completely, and regardless, your all-purpose tunic is love. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. Here is an instance, I think, at least for some of us, where out there, distance, familiarity breeds contempt. We miss what a radical instruction this is. Instruct and direct one another. But what if I don't like to be instructed? And what if I prefer the individualism of our times? And what if I don't want someone else to direct me? Oops, that means I don't really want to put to death the old way of life. I want to hang on to a pretty considerable chunk of it. And periodically, at certain times, in certain places, I might appropriate some of it. That is not what the text says. This is cosmic. It's about the universe. The universe is empty unless it is full with the fullness of Christ. And then finally, and sing, which we did very beautifully. Sing your hearts out to God. You at the Mennonite Church of Normal, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Every detail done in the name of Jesus. Thanking God every step of the way. Amen.